Thanks, Satan, for reading that scripture. Now, that scripture he was reading was from John 12:32. And the importance was that Jesus was letting be known that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's what he was going to be doing. This preacher was telling that, like us, you know, here we are trying to promote the church and the kingdom and the word and salvation for the church to grow out here for all to see. We don't have to spend an eternity in a place of torment and punishment. Jesus is taking care of that for us. But to tell them, we get different things lambasted back at us, you see. One preacher said, they say nobody can interpret the Bible the same way. Everybody interprets it different. It says different things, and the preacher, it sickened him of this thought. The word says the same thing to me as it does to you. I mean, T-H-E, you English teachers, all these words spelled out says the same word to me as it does to you. So this preacher decided he was going to put this to the test. He was going to find himself an honest man, actually an honest Gentile, someone that didn't know about God, hadn't read the Bible, wasn't affiliated with the church or any denominations of any kind. So he found such a man, and he made an agreement with him. He said, I want you to read these volumes of the Bible. I'll break them down in 4 volumes, and I want you to read them if you would, and then give me an honest assessment of it. When you're done with it, what did you learn? And there's no time limit on any of these volumes. I'll give you the first one. And if you have any questions as you go along, write them down. When we get together, we'll go through those questions that you might have. And so he gave him the Old Testament, which, like in Sunday morning class here, the Old Testament is really teaching us about creation of man and man's origin, the creation of the world, how it was all spoke into being by the breath of God, how mighty that is. And the second one was going to be of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the life of Christ, what he was going to be reading. Then Acts, the book of Acts, was going to tell him of all the conversions. What must I do to be saved? And then the last one was going to be the epistles and Revelation. So he gave this to the man, and he read the Old Testament in about 2 or 3 weeks. And he comes back and he said, man, this is the most wonderful book. I enjoyed reading it. It tells me of man's origin and of God, the creator. But he said, I read in Genesis 49, verse 10, that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Shiloh, my question, Shiloh, this Shiloh, has he come yet? He said, yes, and I read in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 and on. This is about Moses. Moses said, and the Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall see, hear. And then he said, also I read in the Old Testament in Isaiah prophecy, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, he said, for unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. My question is, has he come yet? That was the honest Gentile's question. Has he come yet? And then he said, yet I read in Isaiah 53, he says, who has believed our report? Isaiah 53, verses 1 and 6. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Then he says, this honest Gentile says, now, who is this? And, you know, he wanted to know, has this Shiloh come? Who is this child? Who is this guy? And he says, who's this? I remember reading in Malachi, he says, chapter 4, verse 5, another prophecy. Behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming and the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Elijah, now, has he come? Has he been sent? He said, I see in the Old Testament the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. I see Moses. We're talking about Hebrews, Jews, these people. Well, what about these Gentiles? You know, but he says, I see that God led the people by a mighty hand with Moses out of Egyptian bondage. And he led them, and they were through the Red Sea with the waters parted on each side, and they went through on dry land. And oh yeah, I see that he allowed them to wander in the wilderness for like 40 years. Wandering out in the wilderness, he took care of them, rained manna from heaven, and they drank from the rock. From the rock came water, and they survived out there in the wilderness where a normal man couldn't last 2 weeks. But this was 40 years. He took care of them, these people, these Israelites, these Hebrews, these Jews. And he's going on to say how through the kings, David, Solomon, God was with them, and they prospered greatly and had riches untold, you see. But he says, it sounds like we Gentiles are excluded. Because these were Jews and Hebrews. But now, he said, I read in Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 4, now it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord, Lord's house, shall be established on top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall come forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, remember that, nations, and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not rise up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now he says, the honest Gentile, now it sounds like we're included. He said, all nations. He's confused about this. And he said, but I read in Isaiah 62, verse 2, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. I keep that in mind. They was going to be called a new name. And he's seeing like we're included again, all nations. There you are again. So he says, I don't understand this. And then the preacher says, I'll give you another volume, the second volume. And it included Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So he took these books and read them at home, and it wasn't long he was back. He said, I read in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 13 and following, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah, who is come, John the Baptist. That's who it was. Oh, well, that was prophesied in Malachi 4:14. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That was John the Baptist. I also read about Jesus, a kind man, meek, lowly, gentle. He went about doing good wherever he went. He healed the sick, the lame to walk, the blind to see, the dumb to talk, raised the dead, going about preaching of the goodness of the kingdom of God and his love for mankind, his love for all mankind. Then I see that a mob came and arrested him. A mad mob of Jews arrested him, brought him before Pilate. Pilate being the Roman governor at that time. And Pilate said to himself, I find no fault in this man. But yet still the people screamed and hollered, crucify him, crucify him. So you see, the people took him out. And they beat him with a scourge, opened his back open, had him pulling his own cross up to that hill most of the way. Another man helped part of the way pull that cross, and they nailed him to that cross and hung him and killed him there on the cross. But that words that he was saying at the last, you heard him say, the honest Gentile said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Oh, he says, I knew right away now, this was that Jesus, that one I read in Isaiah 53. And he says in Matthew 10, verses 5 and 7, though, these 12 Jesus sent out, commanding them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Now, this is going to confuse the Gentile again. Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, nor enter the city of the Samaritans, but go really to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There he's confused again. You're not going to go? Why is that? So he opened up the book of Luke. And if we turn there, we'll get another answer. What was going on there? And knowing that Jesus was going to have to be crucified. And he allowed them to know that. In Luke 24, verses 46 and 49. I'd like to read verse 45 with it also, because this is what he's allowing these disciples to understand. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures that was told about him, which is honest Gentile has been reading Old Testament scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Aha, now the Gentiles catch, well, we're included again, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are a witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. So there Jesus, having been raised from the dead, told them to go into Jerusalem, where he appeared to them for a matter of about 40 days before he ascended on to heaven. But we pick up this same message the Gentile did in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is telling them, for John, in verse 5, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? It wasn't going to be an earthly kingdom. It's going to be spiritual. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Yeah, that's what they were told. Now, the honest Gentile saying, did this happen? Did they receive the Holy Spirit? Or are they still waiting in Jerusalem? Well, all he had to do was go over to the next chapter. Chapter 2 in Acts. And here the whole situation unfolds. It was on a day of Pentecost when they were all there. Now it reads, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, these are all the people there, nations, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrenes, visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speak in our own language, our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So they were amazed and confounded what was going on. And some of them mocked as we go on with this, saying they're full of new wine. In other words, they're drunk. But Peter spoke up and said, these are not drunk as you suppose. But he went on saying, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Now, the honest Gentile remembers this. In Joel chapter 2, yes, verses 22 through 28. Yeah, he remembers. Yeah, what he said was going to happen in that awesome day of the Lord. And here it's repeated verbatim what it was in the Old Testament. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons will and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servant and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Behold, a fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, now Peter, he didn't stop there. Honest Gentile said, he went on explaining this a little further in verse 22 and following. He told these Jewish auditors, listen up more or less. Said, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God, to who by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David said concerning him, now this is the prophet that the Gentile said, I remember that in Psalm 16. David said this. This was way back then. Now, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I should not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor shall you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will also make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, Peter said, he went on to say about the patriarch David, you know, he says, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. It still is. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would rise up the Christ to sit at his throne, he foreseeing this, spoke of concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out on this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certainly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now they were all pricked in their hearts, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter told them what to do. He said, repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the promises unto you and to your children and to as many that are far off, as many as the Lord thy God shall call. And with many other words did he exhort them, saying, save yourself from this perverse generation. And there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And he read in Acts 2:47, the honest Gentile said, he see what God did. He said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as being saved. Well, then, the eunuch didn't stop there. He went on reading yet, as the preacher had gave him other scriptures to read, and was in Acts. And he come across the eunuch. And he read the story about the eunuch, how he was in charge of Candace's treasury. He was thought much of with Candace. But he'd been up to Jerusalem worshiping, and he was on the road coming home. And the Spirit told Philip to catch up with him. He was in a chariot, and he was reading. He was reading Isaiah 53. And Philip caught up with him, and he said, come up in the chariot with me. And he did. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I let somebody guide me or teach me? So Philip started at that scripture and preached to him Jesus. When the eunuch understood it, they come across a body of water, and he said, look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. So the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So Philip and them commanded the chariot to stand still, and Philip and the eunuch entered the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they come up out of the water, Philip was caught away, and the eunuch went on rejoicing. There he is rejoicing. Why? Because he had been saved. He had done what the Lord said to receive salvation. The honest Gentile was really happy now for what he had done. And he went to the preacher and he said, "Boy, I sure appreciate these books that you've given me, these volumes that I've read. And I understand what I need to do. I see what this eunuch did. And I see what other people did as Philip preached to them. Men and women were baptized." He said, this honest man, Jesus, he says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God with all my heart. Would you baptize me?" That's all that Gentile needed to know. And this is the conclusion he come to. And the preacher said, "Well, certainly I would." So he baptized him. And he went on happy, a new step in his walk. He goes uptown and he goes into the store. And we'll call this guy third party, the guy that owns the store. And he sees him bouncing in. Well, it's a new step. I mean, he's elated about something. I've got to ask him what has happened. So he did. He asked him and he said, "What's happened that you've changed like this?" And he said, "I read a book. I read a book that told me about Jesus." And he said, "Would that be the Bible?" Yeah, it was. He said, "Well, what church did you join?" He said, "Well, I only heard about one church. That's in Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus said, 'I will build my church.'" "You mean there's others?" "Oh, yeah, there's all kind of other churches around. I mean, they've got their certain articles of faith, and these articles of faith distinguish them." Yeah. I went to Bradford, you know what I mean? "From one from another." So they know. "Oh, well." He said, "What else did you do?" Well, he told all the events that took place and how the scriptures allowed him to know that he had his sins washed away, the Lord would add him to his church and kingdom, and that I'd have a home in heaven if I remained faithful unto death. Oh, the proprietor stepped back and says, "I know what you are. You're a Campbellite." A Campbellite? He never heard of. What is a Campbellite? Is that the new name that in Isaiah 62 that we're supposed to have? Did God said to give you a new name? He went back to the preacher and he told the preacher what had went on. Thank you. And so the preacher said, "I'll give you another volume. It's the epistles and Revelation, and you read them." And as he went through them, of course, you're going to be reading what Galatians, Ephesians, Thessalonians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Jude, and on, 1 John, 2 John, they're all there. But when he reads 1 Peter, he said, I found in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 16, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner." Oh, I understand now. The new name is Christian. Yeah, the Bible only makes Christians only, and the only Christians. That's all it's going to make. It's the same word to me as it is to you or anyone else out here. As we try to grow and strive to pull people to the truth and not all this boggled mind stuff that's around us. Listen, I heard an old preacher said, now, if you follow the manual or the discipline, the catechism, the Book of Mormon, the Koran, the councils of men, the associations or the creeds, they're all going to confuse you. But if you'll listen to God's word, Jesus said in John 17:17, Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. If we'll stay with the word of truth and read his word every day, it'll take away confusions in our minds. We'll be more grounded in the truth. And we'll be more steadfast in understanding. He's promised us a home in heaven. To who? Those who have obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, confessing his name, repenting of our sins, because we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and been baptized, even as Saul of Tarsus was. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord in his authority. And he'll forgive us and add us to his church and kingdom, and us be a soldier in Christ to go promoting this to everybody else before it's everlasting too late, when the great shepherd will depart them right and left. How'd I get here? I chose it. Okay. So if anyone's subject to the invitation today from this lesson, if you've been indifferent with the church, if you've been mixed up with the story, maybe you've even been baptized, but you haven't made your calling and election sure. I didn't do that right. Now I understand. Don't be ashamed at all. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed of anything. This is our God calling you. This is that Jesus that the honest Gentile found, this kind, loving fellow. Wants none to perish, but all come unto repentance. He tempted himself and came down from heaven so we can be saved. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come while we stand and sing?